Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Hello Prosperity, powered by RichSingleMama.com. I'm Samantha Gregory, your host, and today I have a special guest, Michelle Meza. She is a single mom as well. And in this series, we're doing a behind the scenes of single moms who are successful to find out a little bit more about their story, how they got to where they are, a little bit about some of the struggles they went through so you can be encouraged, inspired, and empowered to become the single mom, the person, the woman that you were designed to be. So welcome, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Samantha, for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm really excited about our conversation today because I know that it's going to be amazing. So many single moms are going to be inspired by this conversation. I typically like to find out a little bit about your single mom journey. How did it start? What has been the process that you've gone through, some of the ups and downs, and just share what you can about your journey with us.
So I have the privilege of raising two beautiful and strong girls. My oldest is 18 and my youngest is 11. I've been a single mom now for 10 years. With my first daughter, my oldest, I've been basically a single mom with her since she was 3 weeks old, with the exception of my marriage. Yeah, it's been a journey. Definitely lots of ups and downs. I think the biggest challenge that I've faced as a single mom, besides just having the resources available and the support, is the stigma that society has placed on single moms. And there's, with me, my experience, there's an enormous amount of judgment placed on single moms, to the extent that people assume we're the reason why our families aren't together. Assumptions like we're helpless and destitute, and the assumption that our kids aren't happy or complete. So that's been my journey, my roller coaster of momhood.
Yeah, I totally understand that, especially when you talk about the stigma and the expectation that we are sad, poor, helpless souls, and that we need to be either hidden away from society or delivered from this stigma of shame that we are walking around with and that our kids are going to be delinquent somehow. I find that really annoying, but it's what society has been, for a better word, groomed to believe. How did you even get through that shift or mindset that where you finally got to the place where you were like, no, it's not necessarily a stigma, and I don't have to subscribe to this label that people are putting on me?
That's such a good question. Oftentimes, I didn't really think about my situation, or I guess the challenge. Unfortunately, most of my experience with those expectations and judgment, or just embarrassment of knowing a single mom, involving me as a single mom, the shame tied to that, thinking like, wow, is it really my fault? Am I really a bad person for choosing my mental health and my children's mental health over the situation? I think for me, it's realizing that I'm capable. I'm capable of being more than my circumstance. And I think a lot of people, that's where their minds get stuck, is they're faced with all these barriers and not knowing where to turn, where to start. And for me, I'm the type of person, my strength is natural. I'm just naturally a strong person. Others don't have that within them. And so for me, I just push through. I jump in anyways. And that's why I wanted to get on here and talk about this and allow others to say it's okay and just allow that space to heal. And as moms, we put ourselves last. And I just want to affirm to the women who are listening that self-care is vital to your healing. And so when people ask me, how did you overcome this? These challenges, how did you push through your mindset and reverse those negative thought patterns and things like that? I did seek out therapy, although I've tried a lot of things out there and they didn't work, and nothing got me through the situation I'm currently in. And so I've learned to take things one day at a time, one issue at a time, one challenge, whatever it is. I focus on that task until I either figure out a way to solve it, or I just seek the resources. As moms, we can't wait around for things to fall in our laps. things have not fallen in my lap. And so I've had to do the first move and jump with both feet first and seek out what I need or figure it out, you know. And but a lot of women are stuck. They're just so taken back and paralyzed mentally in their positions that they're in, to where they can't see the light. They're not even looking at the tunnel. They have their head down. But I'm here to say, hold your head up, because when you put your head up high, you see the tunnel. You see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it gives you the strength and encouragement to keep going.
Absolutely. I love how you said that you had to make a choice between your mental health and your children's mental health in deciding where you were going to go, how you're going to go forward in your life. So let's talk about that a little bit, because again, mental health, self-care, I think they go hand in hand, because if you're not embracing your mental health, if you're not protecting your mental health, then you just open yourself up for overwhelm, overwork, feeling like you just can't, you're always on the verge of some negative experience. So talk a little bit more about the mental health portion, not just for you, but for your children, and how you make the decision to do that, and some of the paths, the steps you took and resources that you found.
Yes, and I'm so glad our conversation led us into this, because at first I didn't think about myself, and I realized that the weight that I was carrying, the weight of the world or the weight of our situation, I didn't think I was showing it, but my children saw it. Mm-hmm. And then they started reacting to what I thought I was holding in. And so I knew that something had to change, and it has to start with me. And so how I did that is I started with affirmations, and I started with scriptures and positive quotes. And so I eliminated every negative thing around me. That's where I started. It's like a process of elimination. You have to, at first, you have to do an assessment of your surroundings, and then you look at the people who you're around. And so I had to really make some decisions of who I wanted to be around or needed to be around, and who my children needed to be around, because they're watching. They're always watching. They're always paying attention. And you never know how you're inspiring them or how you're affecting them by your reactions. And so I was very aware of my response to people, my ability, like how I reacted when I got upset. And I always tell my girls, it's okay to have a moment to cry a river, but you only get 24 hours. And that's what the permission I gave to myself. And that's how I teach my girls. Like, it's okay to acknowledge, wow, that those people or that person really did hurt you, and your feelings are real and they're there. But now, how are we going to recover? Are you just going to soak in your sorrows and become a victim? Or are you going to switch that over and become a victor? And so I wanted to raise excellence. I wanted to raise champions. I wanted my girls to stand up for injustice. I wanted them to be the friend. If we want friends, we have to be a friend. If we want the right people, we have to give that. And that's the philosophy that I've taught my girls. And so what that did, though, was it reversed their thought patterns of, yeah, the girls were mean to me at school, or yes, this didn't work out for me. I didn't get the part of the play or whatever it was, or I didn't get the first string on sports. I'm going to cry about it for now, but then in the morning, I'm going to move forward. It didn't work out for a reason. I'm going to put my energy and focus into what is there for me.
Amazing. That is such a great lesson in building a foundation of resilience and helping them to form their identity, not based on what people are saying to them or about them, but how I feel and think about myself. That's such a wonderful gift that you've given your girls. I really can appreciate that. Two more things stood out in my mind, and we're going to move to our next question, but about making decisions and giving yourself permission. Those are two such important things, I think, that we as not just single moms, but as humans need to embody. Making good decisions and then giving yourself permission to be human, to do the things that you feel called to do, and to allow yourself to feel all of your emotions. Talk a little bit more about that, and just about making good decisions first, and then about giving yourself permission.
Yeah, that's such a good segue into what we've been discussing. So, making good decisions, it's been a journey. It's been more like a roller coaster, but a 360 view, like a 3D view of it. And the reason why I say that is because I look at myself before my mind was renewed and transformed, and the decisions I made then versus now. And I look at things as there's some decisions I made out of survival, out of fear. I'm not a fearful person. I'm just one of those people. I really don't have any fear. That's usually the fear that I've had was triggered by it stemmed from trauma. But once I recognized something isn't right, I keep ending up in the same situation. So that's when I realized, okay, so evidently it's my decision making. Before my mind was transformed, it was a struggle because I couldn't figure out it. It felt like I was in a room with no doors. Maybe the easiest way to describe it, I saw a window and I knew that there was something else there, but I couldn't get out of the room. And I just kept digging deeper and praying and telling myself, look, you need to get up. There's something more. You are not your situation or your circumstance. That's not who you are. That's not who you're called to be. That's not your identity. And it's funny how that works when you talk to yourself like that, because my girls started saying that about themselves. Now, I kept a lot of that to myself. I didn't hide anything from them, but I didn't want to talk about problems all the time. That's not who I am. I'm a positive person, but they see it on my face. And so that's when I started changing the decisions that I made and realized through journaling, I just started writing to myself. I didn't have any close friends. I couldn't lean on family members. I didn't have a village. I was the village. And so I had to talk to myself. And I started someone I heard on the radio or somebody was talking about journaling. I'm like, oh, well, I like to write. And that's where that led into it. So I started looking at, and I would go back like every 3 months or so, I would go back to see what I wrote and just the thought process. And then I'm like, okay, I think this is a pattern or something. And I went to the public library. I took my girls there all the time to check out books. But then I started looking up things and digging into self-help books and realized like, oh my gosh, this is a generational cycle. Man, that was a game changer for me. And I'm like, I do not want my girls to repeat anything that I had to endure or by no fault of my own. It's a pattern. And you don't know you're in that cycle until you wake up one day and realize, hey, something's not right.
Something's not right. Absolutely. And then that's amazing. Such insight to be able to say something's wrong. I keep doing the same thing. I keep making the same choices. And I feel like a lot of single moms do that thing because when you get in this spiral, this cyclic spiral where you're just continuously going around the same mulberry bush, you're going around the same thing and you're making the same decisions. And until it just clicks one day, wait, I've been here before. Why am I in this place again? And then you finally, if you are conscious enough, aware enough, accountable enough to yourself to say, you know what, it has to change. It has to stop like now. And I got to find out what this is. This is how it happened in my life. I was like, why am I continuing to be in these same kind of relationships? And why do I continue to do the same type of things and getting nowhere fast? And making those decisions was very important, giving myself permission to seek for answers. And then giving myself grace to say, you know what, you made some mistakes. It's okay as long as you're willing to fix it and willing to go in a different direction and not continue get out of this circle or spiral of whatever it was. I can't remember how I phrased it, but I just had to make that decision. And the journaling, that's one of my favorite things. I have so many notebooks, like stacks of notebooks where I've journaled. And of course, I have a tablet now, so I use that. But yes, powerful, a very powerful tool to just start with your mental health and your healing is to journal. So thank you for bringing that up and for, again, teaching your children these wonderful habits because it is, we have to be the ones to break this generational cycle of self-destruction, bad decision making, and doing the things that keep us stuck in this pattern of self-destruction and self-sabotage.
Absolutely. Yeah, self-sabotage is a real thing. And it easily transfers onto your children at any age. Yeah. I look back and I found my youngest self-sabotaging herself. And it's, I'm like, how does she even know to do that? I wasn't vocal about things. Again, it's, they watch your decisions and they watch the outcome and how it directly affects them. And it's just education, just seeking the knowledge to change. And like you said, holding yourself accountable and committing to yourself. And my accountability was my girls. That was my motivation, is to break those cycles, because I knew I wanted to make it easier for them. I know life isn't easy, but I wanted to not make it harder right. on them. And yeah, so establishing boundaries with people, you know, that's important. Boundaries within yourself. Like you said, giving yourself grace, forgiving yourself.
Yes.
I had to forgive myself for the not knowing, the unknown things that were generationally passed down. I had to forgive myself on that too, because I was going round and round in my head over things that it was done.
Right. Absolutely. I've enjoyed this conversation just about your journey through single motherhood and how you have been setting up your life for success. Let's turn our attention to your business and tell me about that, and tell me what made you decide to start a business.
Great. I would love to. I get excited about this too. So I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, they call it, from a young age. I've hustled. I come from a very blue collar, poor family. And I remember going to, my dad was in and out of my life, nothing consistent there. But when he finally decided to commit to us, I remember asking him for a pair of basketball shoes. And he told me, no, if you want anything besides a roof and food, you're going to have to get it. And I knew I had two choices back then at 14. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I can either pout about it, what was that going to do? Or I can suck it up and go look for a job. And so that's what I did. My first job was dipping minnows at a convenience store for the fishermen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love sharing that because people don't expect that. I grew up in a rural part of Oklahoma, and so it's comical to the rest of the world because they're like, wait a minute, you did what?
Hello?
Yeah. And how did you go from there? I was the first in my family to graduate college. That opened many doors for me. I went on to get my master's degree. I went to school for entrepreneurship, and then my major was marketing. So I've always gravitated to marketing and the look and feel and design of business. And I was good at it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm onto something. And with the journey of single motherhood, I wasn't able to go after my ideal career. I had to go work for someone, but that's okay. It was a delay, not a denial. And I want to make sure I stress the importance of that, because a lot of people give up on their dreams prematurely because of their current situation. You cannot look at your current situation. Just like with my business, I've been a private consultant. I've owned businesses since 2012. I started, and while maintaining a W-2 job, it was very hard, but I did it. And now I made the decision in January. With COVID, it actually allowed me to reset and rebrand myself. And so I picked up a couple certifications. So I'm a certified mindset coach and a branding strategist. And so what that translates to is I help people, entrepreneurs, build six-figure brands. And then I transform their minds in the process. And so it's really exciting. Most of my clients are startup people who just have an idea. They don't know how to get started. So I help them develop their brand, create a strategy to put it in place and to market their brand. So that's fun. And then, so with that, I rebranded during COVID, and the rest is history. And now I'm moving into automation and offering digital courses and different types of tools and templates and materials that people need to do daily operations.
Awesome. Awesome. So how do you balance this with motherhood? That's doing it all yourself, raising your kids, and then running a business. How do you balance that?
It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and on the other side of success, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it was a piece of cake. No, it was difficult. Lots of 14-hour days. My children were so gracious to me, especially when they were younger. But it's all about balance. I use time blocking. My calendar is my bestie. And that's what I say. If it's not on my calendar, it's not happening. But what I did is I utilized my tools around me. You have your calendar, whether it's on your phone or computer, or actually I have both. I have one on through my email, but I also have a paper one, an old school one that I literally use a pencil. And that's how I plan out my weeks. And so I take it one day at a time, and I use time blocking, and that's with everything. And so I feel as just mothers in general, we're great at time management. We're masters at it. If you can balance, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, or let's say you're a brand new or about to be a single mom and you've been a stay-at-home mom, you have skills and those are transferable. And part of that piece is time management. I micromanage my time to the T, to the minute. And so I take one task at a time, one day at a time, and that's what I do. So in that time blocking period, I make sure that that's the only thing that I focus on. And I'm not flexible with my boundaries on that. I'm a stickler of that. Because I found through my mistakes that when you try to go outside of those boundaries, it's bad. And it affects your children too. That's how I've been able to balance those two things.
So for those who don't know what time blocking is, can you give like a brief overview of what time blocking is and how it's pretty advantageous to you and your balancing act?
Yes. And I love this because actually there's a lot of people who don't know what time blocking is. Right. And it's really changed the lives of my clients. They tell me, oh my gosh, like you just mentioned it and you taught me how to do it. Now I won't ever not do it. So what that is, let's give the example of a Monday. So your day is from the time you wake up, let's 6:30, and then till the time you go to sleep, not your children, but you go to sleep. So for me, it varies, but I try to stay within the same time frame. So waking up at 6:30, having some time for my devotional or affirmations or whatever that is that I need to do to get ready for the day, look at my calendar. And so time blocking is you literally take a block of time. So let's say from 7 to 8, you're getting your children ready for school or you're fixing them breakfast and taking them to day, whatever the situation is. So then your work day, let's say it starts at 8. So from 8 to 10 or 8 to 9, I'm checking emails. I'm responding, I'm getting things done that's related to emails, and that includes calendar. So I look at my calendar and my emails. Now from 9 to 11, if it's prepping for clients or if bookkeeping, let's say I bootstrapped everything. That's how I've been able to scale my business. From 9 to 11, I focus on your invoicing and just making sure everything, your finances are right. And then you have to break for lunch, of course, or exercise or walk, whatever it is. I encourage everyone to at least get out and get in touch with nature, even if it's just 20 minutes, just to clear your head and to figure out, okay, here, it's a good quick reset that's really easy and it's really good for your body. And then the afternoon block from 1 to 5 is focused on meetings or clients or any type of task. Now, I encourage people, depending on if their strength is in, let's say they're a morning person, I recommend doing the hardest things in the morning. That's when your energy is full, you're most alert, and you're going to do the best job. And then the other things can be moved to the later time. And then, of course, like I'm very detailed. So like from 5 to 6, I'm preparing dinner. 6 to 7, that's catching up with my children. And for me, it was really important. I didn't have this growing up, but I made sure that we ate together. That time was talking about their day. And it's amazing when you open that time up for the kids to just talk about everything. It's just, they need it.
Yes.
And, but it's also healing for me. It helps me because I'm connecting with my children, even though I have to constantly drive out those negative thoughts about, gosh, you're spending too much time on your business. You work too much. And so that's part of the balance. And so then I look at from 7 to 8 is exercising, whether it's with my children. I try to include them in the workouts. There's a couple days with certain workouts that I do it for my just alone. But I try to teach them. Again, it goes back to self-care, because when you work on your mindset, your body reacts to that. Yeah. And just thinking about when I was, before my mindset was transformed, my body, I had a lot of health issues going on or developing. I noticed when I cleared up my mindset and then I became active, even if I just started walking, like I literally only had in the energy, I was so exhausted. I could literally only walk 10 to 15 minutes. And then I was, so it started with that. And then I just incorporated different things. And then of course, 8 to 10, you get your kids ready for bed. I'm looking at the next day, and then I shower and go to bed. That's a very detailed version, but I try to go into detail because people don't know where to start.
Right. That's very helpful because I know I've used time blocking for years, and it definitely does keep you on track, keep you focused. And then you can build in time for yourself and for just to give yourself a break and not overcommit yourself to other things and other people and allowing people to just bombard and just take over your life because you work from home or because you seem like you have all this time in the world because you don't have a significant other or what have you. So I think that is a really smart thing to start to implement if you're not already implementing it. So thank you for sharing that detail. And I think that's going to be a really good segue into, like you mentioned, talking with your kids every evening during meals and giving them that time and working out together. So what kind of legacy do you want to leave for your children because of the things that you're doing now?
That's such a great question. That's so thought-provoking. The legacy I'm leaving my girls is to love yourself and love others. You have to love yourself first. Not be selfish, but truly love yourself. Tell yourself you're beautiful because you are. You're beautiful inside and out because when you do that to yourself, you're able to see people in a different light and to see and encourage them and to make them feel loved. I always tell my girls to leave others better than how you found them.
Yes.
Even if it's just something simple, even if it's just an encouraging word, a smile, opening the door for them, little things. And then I'm also teaching them to have a healthy relationship with money. I wasn't taught about money growing up. And during my healing journey, I was introduced to Financial Peace University, changed my life. It changed it so much. And it really inspired my children. My oldest, it was like it was at night. So I worked all day. And my oldest had basketball practice. And so there's no way I could pick her up and take her home and get to this class for 6 weeks. Or I think it was 12 weeks. So I just took her with me. And at first it was just like a one-time thing. But then she was like, Mom, I want to go back. And so that completely reset her brain, rewired for money. And she is such a good steward of money now. It's natural to her. That's all she knows. And she was in middle school at the time. And now she's 8. And then so I'm focused on building generational wealth, and I'm also teaching that to my girls. So not only am I leaving a legacy to them, but I'm teaching them to build for 7 generations out, not 3, not 1, not the current.
That's fantastic. That's a very strong legacy you're leaving, like you said, for the whole person and not just for one segment of life, but just the entire thing, because that's what's going to give you the most fulfillment. So thank you for sharing that. Tell us more about how people can connect with you to maybe find out more about your service, find out how to rebrand or market their business. Where can they find you? And what do you have any current offers for them as well?
Yes. So I'm so excited. I have, for all the moms out there who are thinking about starting a business or have started it, but not really, you just don't have everything aligned. I'm sending you guys, or I'm offering you guys a ultimate business checklist. The ultimate business checklist, it gives you a detailed breakdown of what you need to do, when you need to do it, how you need to do it to get your business from an idea into an actual product or service or business. So I'm doing that. I'm launching some new things. The best way is to sign up for my newsletter, and that's actually on my website, or I've included it on the checklist. So at the on the last page, there's a link that you just hover over and you click on it. You can also find me online at luxiconsulting.com, and that's L-U-K-S-I consulting.com, or on social media, through Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Awesome. Definitely. Thanks for sharing that. Finally, tell me, what is the one thing that you want single moms to know that can help take them from doubt, fear, overcoming challenges they may be facing as a single mom, whether there's new or they've been in it for a while. That would just help them, encourage them, inspire them.
Yes. The one thing, there's a few things. There's a couple things.
Okay.
Regarding your situation, you can't allow people's words or how they treat you to affect your life, to drive the way you do things. For me, I mentioned the stigma came mostly from family and people who I thought were friends. And so you have to remind yourself that none of their thoughts or opinions pay your bills or raise your children. And I think that's critical, because we get caught up in that cycle of, in our thought process of, oh gosh, maybe they're right. No, they don't know your life. They're not you. And that is your superpower. You have to realize that you cannot control what people say or how they treat you or what they do, but you can control how you react to it, how you respond. And so when you don't give that negativity energy or light, it dies off. That's the great thing about it. And I'm often reminded when I think about this topic, I'm reminded of a scripture. It's Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. So yes, we will still go through trials. Yes, life is hard, but he doesn't remove our enemies or instruct us to take care of them. So that's when you're facing those negative thoughts of like, oh gosh, why do they keep saying that? Or I wish they would stop. You have to remind yourself that he says that he blesses you and restores you in front of them. And we can eat in peace and we can walk out God's purpose for us fearlessly. He sets us apart. He protects us. And he not only gives us what we need, but he gives us more to share and bless others. And so that's what I would love to leave with people, with moms who are having those endless thoughts.
That's very inspirational. I think that they can definitely take that away and feel like they have a breath of fresh air, because what people say, yeah, it hurts for a little while, but if you have the choice to let it linger and completely destroy your soul, or you can just let it go and move forward with your life in the way that you know that's best for you. So thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your journey and about your process and how you're dealing with your children and balancing motherhood and business, and just for the wisdom. This has been a really great episode, and I'm looking forward to learning more about you by going to your website. And I hope that everyone who's listening will go and they will pick up your checklist, especially if you're thinking about starting a business, because that's the best way to start to build wealth and not be dependent on child support or a 9-to-5, but you get into the place where you are truly financially free and independent. So thank you, Michelle, for being on our show. And thank you all for listening to the show and for giving us the opportunity to bring some light and love into you, into your world. Take care. We'll talk again soon.